Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 9, Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. Text 57. Mrishta Chatvara Ratyata,
Mrishta Chatvara Ratyata,
Margam Chandana Charchitam.
Margam Chandana Charchitam.
Lajakshatai Pushpa Phalais.
Lajakshatai Pushpa Phalais.
Tandulair Balibhirutam.
Tandulair Balibhirutam.
Actually, we have a few more verses before we get to a purport, so I should have waited until we reach the last one. Please forgive me. I'll read all the following verses. Please chastise me, so I may become chaste. Translation. All the quadrangles, lanes, and streets in the city, and the raised sitting places at the crossings, were thoroughly cleansed and sprinkled with sandalwood water. And auspicious grains, such as rice and barley, and flowers, fruits, and many other auspicious presentations, were scattered all over the city.
What are quadrangles?
A quadrangle is a four-cornered intersection.
So, four-cornered intersection
means
that it's just like the road goes in a square?
No, it means that there's two roads crossing.
Oh, I see.
So there's four ways
like,
you can go.
So it's regular intersection.
Yeah. Yeah. Dhruvaya pati drishtaya tatra tatra purastriya siddhartha kshata dadhyambu durva pushpa palani cha upajahru prayunjana vatsalat ashisha sati Shrinvangstad Valgugitani Pravishad Bhavanam Pitu. Thus, as Dhruva Maharaj passed on the road from every place in the neighborhood, all the gentle household ladies assembled to see him. And out of maternal affection, they offered their blessings, showering him with white mustard seed, barley, corn, water, new grown grass, fruits and flowers. Thank you. Curd. Correction, not corn. In this way, Dhruva Maharaj was hearing the pleasing songs sung by the ladies, entered the palace of his father. Mahamani Vratamaye Satasmin Bhavanot Tame lalito nitaram pitra nyavasad viva devat. Everything okay? Dhruva Maharaj thereafter lived in his father's palace, which had walls bedecked with highly valuable jewels. His affectionate father took particular care of him, and he dwelled in that home just as the demigods live in their palaces in the higher planetary systems. You may remember from previous verses that Dhruva Maharaj being bathed by his mother's tears was an indication that he would soon be installed on the throne as the king, just as the deity being bathed indicates that it will be installed on the altar. So when we hear these descriptions of Dhruva Maharaj's father taking care of him in the highly opulent palace, it should evoke this understanding that Dhruva will soon become the king himself. Text 61. Baya pena nipa shaya danta rukma parichadha asanani maharhani yatra raukma upaskarha. The bedding in the palace was as white as the foam of milk and was very soft. The bedsteads were made of ivory with embellishments of gold, and the chairs, benches, and other sitting places and furniture were made of gold. Veda culture is so advanced in the arts. Yatrasbhartika kudeshu mahamara kateshu cha mani pradipa abhanti lalana ratna sanyuta. Let's read the word for word. Yatra.
Yatra.
Where?
Where?
Spartika.
Spartika.
Made of marble.
Made of marble.
Kudeshu,
on walls.
Mahamarakateshu, bedecked with valuable jewels like sapphires. Cha, also. Manipradipa, lamps made of jewels. Abhanti, shown. Lalana, female figures. Ratna, made of jewels. Sunyuta, held by. Translation: the palace of the king was surrounded by walls made of marble, with many engravings made of valuable jewels like sapphires, which depicted beautiful women with shining jewel lamps in their hands. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The depiction of King Uttanapada's palace depicts the state of affairs many hundreds and thousands of years ago, long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Since it is described that Maharaj Dhruva ruled for 36,000 years, he must have lived in the Satya Yuga, when people lived for 100,000 years. The life durations in the four yugas are also mentioned in the Vedic literature. In the Satya Yuga, people used to live for 100,000 years. In the Trita Yuga, people lived for 10,000 years. In Dvapara Yuga, they lived for 1,000 years. And in this age, Kali Yuga, people may live up to 100 years. With the progressive advance of each new yuga, the duration of human life is reduced by 90%, from 100,000 to 10,000, from 10,000 to 1,000, and from 1,000 to 100. It is said that Dhruva Maharaj was the great-grandson of Lord Brahma. This indicates that Dhruva Maharaj's time was in the Satya Yuga, in the beginning of creation. Right, as opposed to another Satya Yuga in another Kalpa. Because he's the direct great-grandson of Lord Brahma, it must be the first Satya Yuga. During one day of Lord Brahma, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, there are many Satya Yugas. According to the Vedic calculation, at the present moment, the 28th millennium is current. It can be calculated that Dhruva Maharaj lived many millions of years ago, but the description of the palace of Dhruva's father is so glorious that we cannot accept that advanced human civilization did not exist even 40 or 50,000 years ago. There were walls like those in the palace of Maharaj Uttanapada even very recently during the Mughal period. Anyone who has seen the Red Fort in Delhi must have marked that the walls are made of marble and were once decorated with jewels. During the British period, all these jewels were taken away and dispatched to the British Museum. The conception of worldly opulence was formerly based mainly on the natural resources such as jewels, marble, silk, ivory, gold, and silver. The advancement of economic development was not based on big motor cars. Advancement of human civilization depends not on industrial enterprises, but on possession of natural wealth and natural food, which is all supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we may save time for self-realization and success in the human form of body. Another aspect of this verse is that Dhruva Maharaja's father, Uttanapada, would very soon give up attachment for his palaces and would go to the forest for self-realization. From the description of Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, we can make a very thorough comparative study of modern civilization and the civilization of mankind in the other millenniums, Satya, Trita, and Dvapara Yuga. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Om ajñāna timirantasya jñānañjana shalākaya chakṣur unmilitam yena tasmai śrī guruve namaha. Śrī Caitanya manobhīṣṭam sthāpitam yena bhūtale svayam rūpa kadamahyam dadāti svapadantikam. Vandeham śrī guru śrī utapāna kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बांधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्ता कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणामामि हरि प्रिये वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Yatra Spartika Kudyeshu Mahamara Kateshucha Mani Pradipa of Abhanti Lalana Ratna Sangita. The opulence of Maharaj Uttanapad is being described here. It's so captivating and charming, the description of his palace with its inlaid marble walls, depictions of auspicious figures holding jeweled lamps. Just to be in such a palace would flood the mind with so much happiness. This happiness is the result of pious activities. By performing charity work, austerities, serving other people, voluntarily undergoing hardship for a higher purpose, we gain punya. And as a result, we may get an opportunity to take birth as a wealthy person or a king. And if our wealth is exceeding, if our wealth of punya is exceedingly great, then we may take birth not only as a wealthy person or a king, but as a king in Satya Yuga. And in Satya Yuga also, generally everyone is Krishna conscious. So this is the true benefit of being a righteous, noble person, is that it gives us access to Krishna consciousness, which is Vasudeva Sattva, or Shuddha Sattva. The perfection of piety, the perfection of righteousness, of morality. Therefore, there's a connection between wealth and righteousness. So the king is meant to become known as Rajarshi. He should be a saintly king. He got to his position of being a king through righteous behavior, therefore he should continue that righteous behavior as a king. From that position of good fortune, it's very easy to focus on spiritual life because we don't have to worry about fighting every day for a paycheck. We can use all of our resources for reviving our dormant Krishna consciousness. And a king has special responsibility because he has so much power and influence that he's responsible not only for his own Krishna consciousness but for so many dependents. in the palace there were so many maidservants, and the king is responsible for making sure that they also are liberated from the cycle of birth and death. It's described that if you cannot liberate your dependents from the cycle of samsara, this miserable world of birth and death, then you shouldn't become a king, a father, a mother, or a school teacher. Any position of power comes with responsibility. We are given a good example in the case of Maharaj Uttanapada, who, although he had a frailty and fell victim to being henpecked by his younger wife, Suruchi, he still, at heart, was a responsible Krishna conscious leader. And he will hand over the kingdom to Dhruva Maharaj. He will not hoard it to himself even to his dying day, but he'll leave for the forest and give the rule of law to Dhruva Maharaj, who's the most qualified leader. And this is Maharaj Uttanapada's glory, that he had the fortitude, the wherewithal to hand over the kingdom to the representative of God, Dhruva Maharaj. A true Rajarshi. The son is the representative of the father. So whatever good qualities Dhruva Maharaj will manifest in the next 36,000 years will also serve to glorify Maharaj Uttanapada, his lineage, his dynasty. His opulence, his renunciation is even more, Maharaj Uttanapada, his renunciation is even more glorious when we consider the fact that real wealth is measured in land, in natural resources, in God's gifts, right? Natural things. Gold, ivory, silk, land, cattle. He was wealthy in the real way, in these terms. So to renounce that is very difficult and just go to the forest, because it's true wealth. Now, and that renunciation will be very steady. Because to get those opulences, you have to have performed so much punya, and the result of that is mode of goodness, which is characterized by knowledge. And to understand that I'm not this body, that I'm the spirit soul, that knowledge makes our decisions steady. Therefore, the mode of goodness is responsible for maintenance. The king will be able to maintain his vow of going to the forest. And it's a very powerful vow. Sannyas, vanapras, very powerful vow. Now, in this Kali Yuga, our wealth is measured in paper. It's the money, the wealth is practically the same thing as the sanitary tissue they use in America. It's not much different. They're both little sheets of paper. We blow our nose on one, and we spend the other for a car. So the cheapness of our so-called wealth in this society is reflected in our values. Our values also become cheapened. Our vows become cheapened. We don't take anything seriously. And so even our vows of renunciation become subject to the weaknesses of this age. Vyuda Vikalpa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes six stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service in his Kadambini, Madhurya Kadambini. One of those six obstacles is called Vyuta Vikalpa, which means flickering determination. One day I'm very determined to chant my rounds, another day I'm too sleepy. One day I study the Shastra, another day I skip it. Yeah. This kind of weak-heartedness or what Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls Hridaya Daurbalyam, weak-heartedness. We all suffer from it. And so we should, when we look at this pastime with Maharaj Uttanapad, we should really value just what he was giving up. He wasn't giving up some lousy sheets of paper. And in that way, we can more appreciate his qualities, his glorious qualities. And the more we can glorify Maharaj Uttanapad, Dhruva Maharaj, those who are in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we can glorify these personalities, the more Krishna will be pleased with us. Therefore, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. It's punya, just to properly hear and glorify the Bhagavatam, person Bhagavatam and book Bhagavatam. Has anyone been to the Red Fort in Delhi? You saw it from outside. Okay. I went online after I read this purport some time ago and looked up some pictures. It was amazing. Just gives me a lot of inspiration to see such things. It should give us inspiration to see that what our heritage is, who were the people who were reading this Bhagavatam thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. They were the same people who were carving such immaculate residences for the palaces. It gives us respect. They weren't just a bunch of primitive fools who read the Shastra. But they were qualified to do things that we cannot do. We should respect a person who has great prowess. Again, it comes from punya. They did hard work, and now they're in that position they're at. So we should have some respect for that. They can do something we cannot do. So in a sense, we're dependent on them. We are benefiting from their austerity, so we should be grateful. Even like a mundane example, like a scientist, they've given so much information which we may now benefit from using in the service of Krishna. Someone invented Tylenol, and if Swami Maharaj gets a headache, we can give him, if he'll accept, we can give him the Tylenol. So this person, we have some thanks for what he's done. And that way, it helps that person. It's our service to that soul, that spiritual being, to give them some agyata sukriti, to appreciate their offering, and ask Krishna to please bless this person. I don't know if it was Dhruva Maharaj or Maharaj Parikshit, it's one Vedic king. He would always carry two swords. One sword was for his self-defense, and another sword was in case the enemy did not have a sword. And he would give one to the enemy so it would be a fair fight. Such integrity and character. These are the real wealth. These good qualities are our truest wealth, because they're the evidence that we're surrendering to Krishna. One who surrenders to Krishna develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Those good qualities include humility, pridelessness, tolerance, kindness, mercy, and so many other qualities also come, subsidiary qualities, poetry, poeticness, things like that. They come up. When we see those good qualities in someone else, that gives us an opportunity to, it gives us something to grab onto to connect them to Krishna. We connect people to Krishna by their good qualities. It's like they've got, to use a computer example, they've got so many ports, and a port which has a cord sticking out of it is like a good quality, which you can connect them into Krishna. Oh, they've got the humility port. We connect them to Krishna by appealing to that quality in them and explaining maybe Lord Chaitanya is very attracted by the decoration of humility, and it's therefore recommended to keep this verse around our neck, Trinada Pisunichena, Tarori Vasahishuna, Manina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. And what is that Kirtaniya Sadahari? Oh, chant Hare Krishna. And in that way, they'll understand their humility is a prerequisite for chanting Hare Krishna. We help them make the transition from goodness to transcendence, from sattva guna to shuddha sattva. This is our responsibility, to find those persons who are manifesting good qualities and show them how to perfect those good qualities, how to reconnect their good qualities with the reservoir of good qualities, Krishna. Guna Arnavastya, he's the ocean of good qualities from which the spiritual master is deriving his benedictions. Praptasya Kalyana Guna Arnavastya Vande Guru Shri Charanarvinda. The spiritual master is very expert at this. He sees just the good qualities like a honeybee, and he finds how to engage his disciples in the service of Krishna according to those good qualities. He fans those sparks. And when some weeds come up, he is expert at taking care of that business also. Okay. Would anyone like to ask anything or share any points? Prabhu?
I heard somewhere, and I don't recall where I might have escaped from Prabhupada. But I believe that, you know, that's what I heard. I don't remember where I read it or where I heard it, but Prabhupada said that in England it's always, you never see the sun.
I've heard Prabhupada saying, commenting on the fact that it's always foggy and gray in England, but never about this point with Surya Dev Sanam Pujari's cursing England. That's new for me. But he mentions here, yes, that the jewels were taken away from the Red Fort and dispatched to the British Museum, so I wouldn't be too surprised if that was said. What do you think, Damodar Priya Prabhu? Is everything clear?
What should have been the role of Indians to have stopped the Britishers to do such things? So, I mean, on one hand, like what I feel, this is what I want to ask you. What we feel is that we have to, like, you know, chant Hare Krishna and all these things. But if we only chant Hare Krishna, then if somebody comes to exploit us, so then how are we supposed to react? Like, no, if Indians just stay like that only, then okay, you can pay anything you want from us, and we'll just be happy, like, you know. So where should we draw a line, like, you know, chanting Hare Krishna is also there, and then somehow we have to prevent ourselves from exploitation also. Like, so what should Indians do, or what should they have done in the past to have avoided this kind of things?
Okay. Thank you. From the position of as a Madhyamadhikari, right, we're following the process of Krishna consciousness strictly. And we're trying to share Krishna consciousness with others. We're hearing from the senior devotee. We're relating properly with Krishna in the center through loving exchanges with our peers. And we're trying to share Krishna consciousness also with those who are innocent. Whoever comes to us, whether they're coming from this country or that country, if they're interested, if they're valuing what we have, but they're innocent, then we can try to share Krishna consciousness with them. If someone's just coming to exploit, then it's better to avoid associating closely with such people. That will be our service to them, to keep them at a respectful distance. Maybe give them a little prasadam. Right now, we can't because we are not pure, we can't influence someone who is determined to simply exploit us. Because their faith in sense gratification is stronger than our faith in Krishna. So we can't influence them. They have more gravity. It's practically a matter of physics. Okay? We can't influence them, so we respectfully avoid them. We avoid the demons. That's a Madhyamadhikari. The other platform is the spiritual masters, the pure devotees. Swasyastu vishvasya kalaprasidatam jayantu bhutani shivam mittodhiya manascha bhadram bhajatara hokshaje aveshyatam no matirapyahaituki. They're praying like Prahlad Maharaj. May there be good fortune throughout the whole universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by engaging in devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in devotion in the service of the Supreme Transcendence Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. They're simply absorbed in chanting attentively Hare Krishna. And that way, they are benefiting everyone by watering the root of the tree. They're nourishing all the leaves and branches. But we are not so pure, so we have to interact as Madhyamadhikaris. That's the solution. But we can't remain on Krishna platform. Is that okay?
That's a very nice answer, but it's on an individual level. I mean, if somebody's exploiting me or somebody, but like, you know, if you say India as a whole, so if somebody's trying to exploit like that, so I mean, society as a whole, how should it end?
How much influence does one individual have? I may have influence over, say, you, if you're my friend. I have some influence over you. But a spiritual master, his sphere of influence, he's still an individual, but his sphere of influence encompasses the whole world. Therefore, he's known as Jagat Guru. We are not going to be able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world until we're pure. What we can do from our position is humbly serve one at a time, whoever we can, whoever's in our sphere of influence. And in that way, we'll get the mercy of the spiritual master, Gunarnavasya. We'll get that mercy from Krishna. If there's some specific question about how you can dovetail your propensities, that I can assist with. But general answers are not going to apply to case-by-case scenarios. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you very much. It's clear?
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji.
So how long did Dhruva stay in the forest? You know, when he left, he was like 5 years old.
6 months. 6 months of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay. So now,
and then he saw the Paramatma in the heart.
Okay, and now he's coming back. And his father, you know, let's say that now he's 6 years old, and now his father wants to put him on his throne and they go to the forest. It sounds irresponsible.
A little too early, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it doesn't tell how long the king was... It says, yeah, it uses the word thereafter. Dhruva Maharaj thereafter lived in his father's palace. So that sounds like it could be a long time. I'd never heard that Dhruva was a child king. I don't think that that's how it is. He probably waited till Dhruva Maharaj was in his maturity.
Yeah, it says
it'll be described.
Yeah. When he had opinions of all the other citizens also, everybody said yes, and after that only...
One other point was, you brought up the yakshas, Dhruva slaying them, but how did Dhruva get empowered to slay those yakshas? through Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya for 6 months. He chanted that mantra, according to Narada Muni, in the forest doing bhakti yoga, ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga, deity worship, Krishna smaranam. He was remembering Krishna's qualities. And he got darshan in his heart of the Paramatma. And because of that Lord in his heart, when he stopped breathing, the whole universe had to stop breathing. This is the kind of Shakti that Dhruva had before he killed the Yakshas. So it's a matter of qualification of Adhikar. Dhruva Maharaj had the Adhikar for leadership. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't have us kill demons. He has us kill the demonic tendency by spreading the Sankirtan Yajna. We're in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Guruntaraj Shiva Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai. Thank you.